Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone is Dr. Catherine Koliaska, who is the Medical Officer of Health for Alberta's North Zone.
So, Dr. Koliaska, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes. So, first time on the station, and this is definitely overdue now that we're here to talk about vaccines. Definitely an important step to getting back to, you know, our sense of normalcy. And I want to start off with just overall, maybe the numbers across the North Zone. We don't need to get into specifically, but how is the North Zone doing specifically compared to the other four zones?
So first of all, thank you for the invitation to have this conversation. And I will just say that the North Zone is a pretty big area, obviously. And we're talking about North Zone of Alberta Health Services. And so we do have some variation as we look community to community and municipality to municipality. What I think is really important here, though, is to remember to think about the importance of COVID vaccine, and it's really to limit the spread, to protect your own health as well as the health of your family and as your community and your access to the healthcare system. In terms of ranges, I don't have specific numbers at my fingertips, but overall in Alberta, we're looking at over 50% of the eligible people in Alberta that are vaccinated. And we certainly have similar ranges in some places of the North Zone and places that are a bit lower. When we look at those numbers a little bit more deeply and think about the distribution of how the vaccines were originally rolled out. They were originally rolled out to people that were in the oldest age groups in society, and we do know that the North Zone has overall a slightly younger population, and that's also true of Fort McMurray. So I don't think it's entirely fair to compare numbers to numbers in that fashion. Mm-hmm. I think what's most important now is that eligibility for vaccines has been opened wide up in just the last little while, and to make sure that you make the time to book a vaccine appointment, recognizing that people have very, very busy schedules, but asking that people make this a priority. The other thing that I would say is that the most important part of making a vaccine appointment decision and getting the vaccine is making sure that you have good, accurate information. And Alberta Health Services and Alberta Health websites have fantastic information. It's general information. If you need more specific information for your personal health and your personal circumstances, I would also very highly encourage you to talk with your personal healthcare provider, your family doctor, and get the information that's specific to your particular circumstances.
Okay. So picking up on one thing that you had mentioned, that, you know, some areas in the province are definitely around the provincial average of over 50% of eligible residents, and some areas are a tad low. And I think that encompasses Fort McMurray and the and our surrounding areas, the rural areas. As Fort McMurray, of the eligible residents, 36% have gotten at least their first shot. Even in the rural areas, it's 27%. I know that this might be a little surprising to some, as we thought maybe the numbers would be a little bit higher since Fort McMurray had its eligibility expanded a little sooner than the rest of the province. I know there was talks at the beginning saying that there was too many young people and they weren't eligible, then they were made eligible. So I'm curious if you're seeing these numbers, and is it looking like there is maybe a little bit of hesitancy in the region, or is there maybe some other underlying reasons as to why maybe our numbers are a little bit lower compared to other areas?
Mm-hmm. And I think on a province-wide or Northstone-wide or Fort McMurray-wide level, I think it is a little bit hard to tell, because as we have conversations with different groups and different individuals, there are different reasons why people may or may not have received their vaccine so far. I think what we have seen, though, is that those numbers do continue to rise. And so, my ask to prioritize a vaccine appointment, if the reason is that, the work and the work shifts, et cetera, have been very, very busy, then, prioritizing that now that vaccine appointments have really opened up, that's one potential avenue. Another potential avenue is maybe a little bit of uncertainty of whether a particular vaccine or vaccine is a good idea in someone's personal health circumstances. Mm-hmm. In general, I can say the development of COVID vaccines was honestly years and years in the making in terms of the vaccine technologies that are used. And then when the actual COVID virus was identified, then it was about putting puzzle pieces together to build these vaccines. So even though it looks really quick, there was actually a lot of the really solid foundation that was built prior to COVID. The next piece to the vaccine safety conversation about how, how these vaccines came about so quickly is that because there are so many people worldwide that were getting sick and have been getting sick with COVID, that in terms of testing the vaccine and in areas that COVID is circulating, because it was circulating worldwide, the ability to do those clinical trials was very, very widespread, and a lot of very good quality science was done in a very, very short period of time. And then Health Canada did still very carefully evaluate all of the science and then made the recommendations, which is where you see the approval of the different vaccines on the Canadian market, and continue to monitor for safety. So it's an extremely rigorous scientific process designed to keep people as safe as possible during the pandemic.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Dr. Kuliaska, the Medical Officer of Health for Alberta's North Zone.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Dr. Catherine Kuliaska, the Medical Officer of Health for Alberta's North Zone. And before the break, we were talking about the numbers when it comes to eligible residents getting the vaccine, the COVID-19 vaccine. And we talked about the province in general, as well as got into some of the numbers regionally.
So you kind of tied into my next section here, and I wanted to talk about some so-called myths when it comes to the vaccine. And you kind of touched on probably the biggest one, that it's not so-called safe because it was developed too quickly, and you gave a really good reason as to why that is incorrect. Maybe another myth that this strain of COVID-19, most people would say that it really started in late 2019, thus why it's called COVID-19, but the coronavirus was around before just COVID-19, is that correct?
Yes, actually, the coronavirus is a very, very big family of viruses. Some of the coronaviruses encompass common colds. Some other coronaviruses include the SARS virus earlier in the 21st century, as well as the MERS, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome virus that we saw as well. So we have seen different types of coronavirus before, but the COVID-19 coronavirus is different enough from all of the other coronaviruses that it's kind of, even if you've had the infection with those other types of coronaviruses, this one is different enough that your immune system recognizes it, or doesn't recognize it, as the case may be, as different. So that's part of the other reason why vaccines were developed and are so necessary to curb the spread of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that, though, it is different enough that our bodies will react differently compared to other coronaviruses, is it safe to say that because of the coronavirus being, you know, existent before, that helped a little bit with research into trying to find this vaccine?
To be clear, we actually have not previously had a vaccine against any type of coronavirus on the market before. Mm-hmm. The technology that is used, the vaccine technology that's used for the COVID-19 vaccine, however, was kind of a more foundational generic technologies that were being developed that could then be applied to different types of vaccines, coronaviruses, or different types of viruses, coronaviruses or others. So with that then, with the technologies that were in development, they can be applied to different types of coronaviruses, or potentially in the future other types of illnesses that arise as well. So I think it's also really exciting times in terms of the abilities to develop protection against other illnesses that affect people. However, right now, of course, the focus is on stopping the spread of COVID-19 so that we can keep people healthy, keep the health system accessible, and try to get back to a new normal way of lives, given what we've all collectively been through in the last year and a bit.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Dr. Catherine Koliaska, the Medical Officer of Health for Alberta's North Zone.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Dr. Catherine Koliaska, the Medical Officer of Health for Alberta's North Zone. And we've been talking about the COVID-19 vaccine, talking about vaccination numbers, and debunking some myths. And we're going to continue on that path. The second last myth I want to talk about is long-term effects. Again, we keep hearing a lot of people saying that it was developed too quickly, so we don't have enough tests to show that it won't have these long-term effects. Can you speak on that?
Okay, so I actually hear two pieces to your question. I hear vaccines developed quickly, and I think we've talked a bit about that. I can expand more if you'd like, but otherwise, you know, I just refer you back to what I've already said. And then the second part is long-term effects of the vaccine. And so we know a few things. One is that there are a variety of vaccines already on the market for other types of bacterial and viral infections. People do very, very, very well. We have decades of experience with some of those vaccines. And so that's one piece of it. The second piece of it is remembering a vaccine is just offering your immune system a sneak peek of a piece of a virus or a piece of a bacteria that you would otherwise come into contact with via a natural infection, and it just helps your immune system know what to build up to and build those antibodies to should you come into contact with the real thing. So that's the other piece, is that this is really mimicking natural processes. It just gives you that sneak peek to protect you, to let your own immune system protect you against the real thing if and when you should come in contact with that.
Okay, so the last myth I want to talk about is, I hear this not as often as probably the other myths we've talked about, but I do hear it enough that I think that we need to address it, that getting the vaccine, you're practically just getting COVID-19. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So again, you cannot get COVID-19 from the vaccine because the complete virus of COVID-19 is not in the vaccine. It's only a piece of it. It's only that sneak peek. It's only the spike protein to just give your immune system enough to work with to build up those antibodies. So that's the key part of you can't get sick with COVID from the vaccine. Now, what maybe some people might tie together is that there are some expected, I wouldn't call them even side effects, but some expected symptoms. Mm-hmm. In the first few days after receiving a vaccine, some are arm soreness, which you would expect where you get the needle. But there's that sometimes people are very tired or their bones are achy or just not feeling well. And that actually is the feeling of the immune system actually gearing up to provide and to start getting those antibodies produced. And after those, if people get those symptoms, they typically go away and they don't turn into an actual COVID illness. Mm-hmm. That's from the vaccine. Now, sometimes one other piece that I'll just add to this conversation is that the vaccine takes up to 2 weeks to build up to its full effect. And of course, then when we're talking about two-dose series, you need that second dose as the booster dose. But for the purposes of this conversation, there are times that you may have been exposed to COVID-19 in the day or two leading up to your vaccine appointment or the day or two after your vaccine appointment, remembering that that vaccine hasn't had a chance to work yet, you could still get COVID-19. And that those are actually two completely different independent events that happen to be happening in a very similar time frame. And, you know, you have to just remember that one didn't cause the other.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really good note to kind of end on. Just with any other vaccine, you're not 100% protected. It's just giving your immune system, you know, it's saying, hey, you know, prepare for this fight if it ever comes up, kind of. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say that, but I would say also as well that the effectiveness of the vaccine is the vaccines. There's different vaccines out there are actually pretty spectacular as well. Mm-hmm. And so, without a vaccine, people are potentially 100% susceptible with a vaccine. There's the certain the range of high 60s, low 70s, drop to mid 90% effectiveness in preventing the disease and also protecting against severe COVID illness. And so, in terms of odds of not getting sick or not getting severely sick, the vaccines provide a distinct advantage.
For sure. Well, Dr. Kuliaska, is there anything else you'd like to add maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about?
Thank you. Thank you for the conversation today. I think this is a very timely and very important conversation. I would just reiterate a couple of things, is that if people are looking for additional information about vaccine safety and vaccine effectiveness or any questions they have on vaccine, the Alberta Health Services website and the Alberta Health website have a lot of really good quality information. If you're looking for individualized information, please reach out to your healthcare provider or your family doctor to discuss your questions and concerns. And please prioritize time in your busy schedule to make a vaccine appointment. You can either make an appointment online on the Alberta Health Services website or by calling 811, or participating pharmacies are also offering access to vaccine appointments as well. Thank you.
All right. Well, Dr. Kuliaska, like I had mentioned at the beginning, this is the first time you're coming on our show, and it's much too late, I would like to say, as I really appreciate you coming on, talking about some of these myths. And I want to mention, too, that when we're talking about these myths, we're not targeting anyone. We understand that this is a scary time, but we're just hoping that maybe some of this information can lead to people getting the vaccine and getting back to that sense of normalcy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the conversation today.
That's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.